Welcome to the Talent Smart Podcast. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who will offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We want to explore how technology and business can improve and enhance the world. We're always keen to hear from you and let us know what topics you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. Also, if you'd like to take part, please let us know. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring people to interview. Speak soon. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us again. I'm delighted to have episode two with Ket Patel, consultant with Marlowe and also founder of Change Reactions. Thank you for staying with us and record episode two. Really appreciate it, Ket.
No worries.
And so really appreciate your time. Last time we covered, building resilience. You talked a lot about sort of individuals and that sort of then the wider organizational adaptability, which I think was brilliant. If for anyone who missed it, please go back and have a look at episode one. This time I want to talk about this ideology that we spoke about before, which really hooked my interest. And that's about democratizing change thinking within an organization. Talk me through that. So, what does that actually mean?
What does it mean? It means that every individual in an organization, to some extent, has an understanding of how they personally navigate change and how that might play out in an organization. And so that they're aware organizations go through change all the time and that change might affect them and that they will have to have some sort of positive response to that. So, and the reason I think that that's important is I don't think people do recognize this in organizations. There's almost like you've got two halves. You've got projects over here, right? And they're in change mode. Like we're building something new. It's going to do this, going to do that. We've got to connect that bit to this, all this kind of like new thinking. And then you've got the other side, which is the operations, which is we've got to keep everything like we've been running it the same, deliver high levels of service, give the clients what they want on the times they want it. And it's very much about protecting what's existing. And here it's very much about destabilizing what's existing. And they're just, they're poles apart. They think entirely differently. And I think that's where I use this word friction. There's a huge friction in most organizations where those two things come together because it's a completely different way of thinking about the work to be done. And so when I say democratizing change thinking, I really want everybody in an organization to recognize that changes are constantly taking place and we have to respond positively in order to incorporate them into our business as usual and to grow the business and to, to take it to where it needs to go in the future. So that's kind of the heart of the idea.
Okay. And then when it comes to that, if I'm a leader and I'm watching this, an organization, and I say, I saw this guy, Ket Patel, and I really love this idea of democratizing change thinking. We're going to do it in our organization. And then, how do I start? So what's the starting point for leaders out there?
Well, there's a couple of things. One of the things, I think there's some core things that change managers inherently kind of know, right? One is we need to ensure people understand how they personally deal with change. So, there's a couple of cool parts of coaching that I learned that helped me understand my own reactions to change, right? So we talked in the previous episode, if anyone hasn't watched it, about my sort of frustration sometimes with customer service. I recognize that I have an expectation that when things should be simple, that's what they should be. Like my expectation is they what I imagine to be simple should be simple. And so knowing that, it kind of allows me to understand how I react to these things when they're not simple. And I have to go with that extra kind of focus. And if you sort of now extrapolate that to every person in your organization, they have to kind of understand what makes them tick. And you get that from a level of understanding kind of the practice of coaching. So something I'm working on at the moment is figuring out how to take the best of coaching and the best of change management and actually put them into some sort of accessible content, right, to help start to give people the tools for themselves to understand what makes them tick, what drives their action, and then how they can use that to their advantage to kind of navigate change. And so for me, any organization asking to people, what makes you tick, how do you work, what do you like, what most managers should be doing through that kind of appraisal, alignment to goals, it's a really good insight as to understanding how change ready they are. And again, we talked about in the last episode sort of organizational adaptability, where if you know how change ready an individual is, one, you can look at how you might bring it up, right? And two, you might know how to then how they'll react to change and how that will coordinate across your organization when you've got a big change to kind of navigate. So that kind of, you know, that democratization is really about understanding individuals, but giving them some of the core skills between, in my understanding at the moment, and it might expand, is I definitely feel there's like some key things around coaching, which you learn about yourself, and change management, which helps you navigate organizational change. And bringing those two things together is a real powerful tool for individuals as well as organization.
So would that be like, I guess, individuals democratizing? I've got this image of like Lego bricks, and then if you put it all together, but each of the bricks forms its own part, and they might be different colors or different ways of working, different attitudes and emotions. But if everyone's doing their bit, then the whole thing gets put together well. That's just my own simple view.
I forget the type of bird, but you remember the, is it starlings, birds that kind of flock and they
murmuration?
So I imagine it like that. If every bird knows that all the other birds around it and looks at what they're doing, has an awareness, then when one changes, it just ripples, right? And but that only works because every bird has an appreciation of what's going on around them and is cognizant of the wider organization, no matter, even though they're responsible for their own work. And that for me is the difference, is we're trying to create that level of awareness that changes are constant in organizations, not the status quo, which is what we try to get organizations to do, be status quo focused. And I think that's part of the challenge, right? It's like that we are in a position where we need to kind of harness this collective ability to kind of be ready for organization. But what we, the crux is what we don't do is we don't look at how we develop our managers to be ready for uncertainty. We're actually developing them to be, try and be more predictable and more certain, because we want things to stay the same. We want managers to manage people to stay the same. Actually, we need to be managing them to navigate uncertainty. And they can only do that if they're comfortable in themselves, know how they tick, and also can manage and support their staff. So that's kind of where I think that democratization starts, looking at your line managers.
And with that, am I making a bit of a leap here? But I'm making the assumption that would lead to an organization which is probably more innovative, and would actually, innovation is through its core, because nobody's scared to experiment or try new things.
I would imagine it would. I don't try to encompass innovation as a kind of effective byproduct, because innovation kind of for me starts to think about, you know, brand new ideas just emerging from places, right? Whereas what I do think is going to be a positive of democratizing change within your line managers is when a new idea comes and it's wanting to be executed, it's much more seamless than it is today. Right. So it might be a place of innovation. It might get people thinking. But what I definitely think it will do is it will help organizations navigate change much more rapidly, because the people in the middle responsible for executing the delivery of change through your operations are change ready. They're change aware. And that's, you know, when I would love it, I say this every time I talk, I would love it if you didn't need to bring me into your organization to help you manage change. I genuinely would. I'd have to go and find something else to do, like maybe play the guitar professionally, which would take me a while. But the you know, if I can make my work to be able to help organizations navigate change for themselves better, right, and not need me to come back time and again because they understand what change looks like for their organization, what level of kind of adaptability do we want, and how do we enable that in our operations teams as well as the project, then all of a sudden you've got an organization that has a level of adaptability that suits its business. And that's the other thing. I'm not saying every organization needs to be the most adaptable. It doesn't. It needs to be as adaptable as you need it to be. And you've got to find that sweet spot for your business. And that is, that starts with how much do you need your managers to be adaptable to help navigate change? How frequently are you making changes in your organization?
And what is there any risk in terms of democratizing change? So I know there'll be some leaders out there who the very thought of democratizing anything fills them with fear because they immediately lose control. So is there any risk there, or is it just about how you set it up?
I think the main risk is more for the sort of people who are change practitioners and consultancies, if I'm honest. Right. There is, you know, you shouldn't need consultancies to come in and, from a business change perspective, you shouldn't need consultancies to come in and help you run business change or run your strategy of what volume of change you should put through your business, right? Because inherently you'll have an understanding of the cadence, the speed at which you can put changes through, and also the level of adaptability in your organization you're willing to accept, right? Because one restricts the other. So I think I can't see, I mean, I'm not a business owner in the kind of context of, like, you know, having to have hundreds and thousands of employees and those sorts of things. So I can't see a downside. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not worried about giving other people power. So I'd ask the question, what's the risk to them? What would they lose out on? And why does that bother them? You know, what do they get out of having that level of autonomy over someone?
And then if we look to the other side, the nirvana of, you know, democratized change, what does an organization look like when it's completely democratized change?
It's those birds flying around, going at whatever pace they want, changing direction whenever they need to together, and being able to respond to things, right? Like wholesale. But and that for me is just the kind of holy grail, right? For organizations. And I do think increasingly it's going to be needed, because we're just seeing so many large external changes to organizations that we weren't planning. And it has such a long ripple effect within the business that it's really destabilizing. It's quite major shocks, which they'll start to hit more and more businesses from being successful. So if we don't start to put this into our business operating model, the more businesses I think will fail, because they just can't deal with these external shocks as effectively as they could do, right?
Wow. So obviously this is the end of episode 2, but before you go, like with everyone else, I'd just like you to think for a minute in terms of top tips. So we start with one, thinking of change reactions in mind. So for somebody who's about to embark or wants to embark or wants to explore, other than to seek you guys out at Change Reactions, what's your top tip of somebody going into the world of change as a change manager?
Don't get hung up on models and theory and feeling like you should know what needs to be done because other people around you are more experienced. Forget all of that. Look at what people need. Are people able to understand what the change is about? And do they have what they need to make that change happen? If they don't, take any action that reduces that friction for them. Forget models. That is my, like, whenever I was first working in projects, I didn't do a stakeholder analysis. I didn't go off and do, like, I was like, okay, who are the people? I didn't know it was called a stakeholder analysis. Oh, who are the people impacted? What are they saying about it? Okay, cool. What can we do to address some of their concerns? Very conversational. And that's what most of it that interested me in the first place was. It was having conversations with people and listening to what they weren't getting and saying, well, what can we do to enable them to get it, to make them feel happier that they will come, maybe consider accepting the change? And that for me is the crux of the work, right? Everything else is just making it easier, thinking about larger scales, you know, all those sorts of things. So just treat it like a conversation where you're trying to help someone navigate something they don't understand and then take an action that helps them.
Brilliant. And then if there's leaders out there, so feeling stagnated and think, I would love, we've had a couple of change initiatives which have failed. What should they look at? What's the first thing to look at?
I would, it's an interesting one, failure, because there's been a lot of talk. I think one, I don't think we ever really fail, unless we stop a project, that may be a failure. I think whenever we start a project and we have an idea of what it would look like, and it doesn't meet up to our expectation at the end, we failed to manage our expectations throughout. Yeah, so we didn't fail, we just didn't do what we originally thought we'd do at the beginning. Projects are fraught with uncertainty. You know, we don't know what the path is going to be. So I think, don't beat yourself up if you feel like it's failed. That's number one, right? Like, it probably didn't fail, just didn't meet the expectations you set out at the beginning, and that's okay. But I do think the second thing is, look at where it could have improved. So going back to that kind of reflective practice, what could we have done different? What could you have done differently? What could others have done differently? And actually, as opposed to kind of just going, we could have done those things differently, just take a couple of them and implement them the next time around. Right. Again, thinking just simply, we haven't got all the time in the world to kind of go and redesign the way we deliver projects. Look at what had the most impact, as in not get meeting your expectation, and look at what you could do differently next time and actually do something about it. Right. Because I think there's a lot of, well, we could, you know, lessons learned is a classic example. We do them, not much learning goes on with them.
Got it. Now, that's brilliant. And look, Ked, I really appreciate the time you've given us. Just so people know, if they wanted to seek you out, Change Reactions, it's www.change-reactions.co.uk. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Great stuff. And you've got events. And you've got some live events coming up, I think, as well in the future you're planning.
Yeah, we'll be doing a couple. We're doing three live events a year where we get practitioners together. No purpose. Just get people together, have a laugh, have a drink. Just talk about change. And yeah, so we'll be doing three of those a year.
Brilliant.
That'll
be creating an awesome community, and we look forward to seeing it grow and supporting you through it. So once again, thank you so much for your time over these two episodes, and I hope we get to record some more in the very near future.
Bro, thanks, Phil. Really appreciate you inviting me on, and thanks a lot.
Speak soon. Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the Talent Smart podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're always keen to hear your feedback. Please let us know your thoughts and what episodes and what topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We're keen to hear from you. Please let us know your thoughts and if you'd like to take part in future episodes.